This lesson is for Sunday morning, February 13, 2022. Thank you for joining us today, Conqueror's Class. This is your teacher, Brother Ray Shutt. I've been out sick, as you know, with a upper respiratory infection and shingles. And I'm just so thankful that Pastor Todd Comstock could be able to cover the class for us these past two Sundays. My plan, if the Lord wills, is to be back with you on Sunday, February the 20th. And we look forward to that Sunday, and I look forward to being back with you again. But I thank Brother Todd preaching and teaching the Sunday school class for me on this Sunday. The lesson today is entitled Forgiven, and I think it will be a great lesson. I want you to listen to what Pastor Todd has to tell us today as we listen to this great lesson from the Word of God.
Okay, yeah, Pastor Ray wasn't sure if he was going to be able to go this week, and it just not there. Just keep praying for him and his full recovery, that things don't get more complicated for him. And definitely he could use your prayers. Let us pray for the lesson, and then we're going to try to get into the lesson this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your presence with us. We ask you to help us understand this truth of forgiveness. Help us to apply it to our lives and also to encourage others in the same path. Thank you for all you've done for us, and we commit all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning as we get into it, it's almost like a part two to Philemon. If I knew I was going to be here this week, I would have probably split last week's into two. So I think that's why the Lord didn't allow me to know that, because I would have, Pastor Ray would have came back and he'd have been five lessons behind. I have a tendency to make sure we don't miss anything. But this is the lesson two of it on forgiveness. And I was thinking this morning, I says, I need a good illustration for it. When people do things offend you and you feel bad. And this morning, somebody in this room did something to me. Yeah, he tried to get me. No, it wasn't you, Fred. Not yet. You haven't had a chance. I won't mention names, but he's got a coconut donut. He tried to get me to eat a coconut donut. He was going to share it with me. There's one problem. I don't eat coconut. And somebody knew it. But I'm not going to mention his name, okay? His wife, did she say amen? Yeah. So I got to try to figure out how to forgive him for that. Instead of offering me a chocolate one or one with sprinkles, nah, we're going to leave that be. So forgiveness, it actually is a very, as I alluded to last week, a very needed area in our lives, in our church. And so often we get so upset. I mean, I don't hold anything against Don Graff and him being a Washington, I don't know what the team's name is anymore. Well, then he's going to think it's his team, if we say Commanders, and never mind. We're not going to go down there. I don't hold that against him. I forgive him for being that kind of fan. I think he has a harder time forgiving me for being a Cowboys fan. That's a different story. But we won't go down that trail. We already did, so. But as we look at it this morning, and this area of forgiveness and going through life, we struggle with it, and we think, well, we're right and they're wrong. Maybe, but where's forgiveness in this whole picture? It's about, what is it worth? Where's the line? And that's some of the things we're going to look at this morning. Say, hey, no, you've crossed the line. We can't forgive you for that. And that's where, as we, in Ephesians, they gave you some focus verses, but I'm not sure why, because I didn't use them. Actually, I read them. They really support the lesson, but I actually got focusing on Ephesians 1, verses 6 through 8. Ephesians 1, verses 6, 6 through 8. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And as we look at that, you know, in verse 6, so we praise God for his glorious grace that he's poured out upon us. And then in verse 7, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he has purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave us for our sins and forgave our sins. And this is where we stop. And he showered his kindness on us and his love and forgiveness through the blood of his son. And then this is really, if we can get back to that point, use that as the starting or the background, it changes our whole perspective on forgiveness. I mean, we're driving down the road and we have a hard time forgiving the guy that cut us off. Really? And you say, well, who does that? Well, never mind. We're not going to have a show of hands because they're not, and you're going to have to lie, and then we're going to have to forgive you for that. But, you know, how often? Stop and think. How often is something so insignificant? Because I noticed the other day somebody coming up 27, they just got so upset because I was only going 5 miles over the speed limit. And they just passed me. Actually, they passed me on the right side. It was kind of exciting. And oh, man. And sure enough, by the time we got to the red light by Random House or Penguin or whatever the name of the place is there, he was still right in front of me. And it's like, okay, you really, and it's like, no, can where's the forgiveness in that? And to say, hey, let it go. Just let it go. It's not worth it. And us forgiving others, but also us getting forgiveness, it was worth a lot. And as we stop and look at this morning, God's amazing forgiveness is to flood our thoughts. And when it does, it changes everything about us. Being proclaimed, it needs to be proclaimed to others through our lives and through our words. Sometimes we get so overwhelmed with our situation and our struggles, don't we? It just dominates us. Stop and think about it. How many times are we controlled by being, oh man, this is just too much. This problem or that problem, this is more than I can handle. Why don't we get that same overwhelmness with his great grace? And that it just controls our entire thought pattern, our entire lives, his forgiveness. Yeah, what would happen to us if we lived that way, overwhelmed with his great grace, as it spoke here in Ephesians 1? What would happen to us if we got overwhelmed with his forgiveness for us? And it just captivated us. It would change the world. It would change our lives for sure. When is the next time you think you'd get offended? It wouldn't happen anymore. Because it just, if that overwhelmed us, nothing else really would matter. And that's just something to think about. Let us get overwhelmed. Let his forgiveness and grace just flood through us. Wash through us, and that's really, as we start looking at the background, where does forgiveness start? Why do we feel? And backing up a little bit, as it looks like us forgiving other people. How many times have you seen? And sorry, going down the sports realm, athletes get up and say, you know, seek forgiveness for being doing something foolish. I mean, I can list the things that they've done, and people say, we just can't forgive them. You know, where are we to draw that line? Where does that line when we hear other people say, forgive me for this? Well, they're not sincere. They really didn't mean that. Or this is reason. You know, when we try to measure out if we can forgive them for what they did by, okay, they, how sincere. My question comes up is, who are we to measure that and say, okay, I have the yardstick and say, okay, that question for forgiveness is almost sincere. Really? Are we the ones to be measuring? What's the standard that we should use? That sin is just too bad to forgive. They really didn't mean it. Isn't that, how many times have you heard that comment? We had one of our SAA guys, a tremendous young man, Tito, and he struggled with alcohol. I mean, his dad was an alcoholic. His whole family literally was, and he is a dear brother. He got victory over it, started coming to church, and the next thing you know, you found out that he was at a party and he was drunk again, and he's back into it. And then all of a sudden he's in church again saying, oh, forgive me, folks. I want to walk with the Lord. Next thing you know, he's drunk again. And he's, did we forgive him? No, he's not sincere, folks. He keeps falling. Who are we to say that? Where do we fit into that box? That's one thing we need to stop and think about. And instead of just embracing the guy and helping him get the victory, we want to sit as judges over him. And instead of saying, wait a minute, you know, where's the line? What would happen if God dealt with us in that same way? What would happen if God used that same measuring stick on us? Oh, that's the second time you did this. You're done. Oh, you did that again? What? What's your problem? Stop. And again, we don't want to go into listing things here personally because it could get quite rough on all of us. But, you know, God, if God used the same measuring stick that we use on others, there'd be a problem. And that's where we want to stop and think about. And as we talked last week, Paul's comments to Philemon about Onesimus, hey, forgive him. Why? Because Onesimus already paid him all back? Because Onesimus didn't do anything really that bad? No. Paul didn't use any of that justification or measure. Just forgive him because he's a brother. Period. That was it. No more. And hey, if you want to hold it, hey, I'm standing with him. And let's get this behind us. You know, let's not use the world's standards to measure. Let's use God's standards. And that's really the background to the forgiveness. The meaning of forgiveness is, I actually looked it up and got a nice educated definition. It's a conscious or deliberate decision to release feelings or resentment or vengeance toward a person or a group that's harmed you, regardless of their actions or if they deserve forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting, nor does it mean condoning or excusing the offense. There's still consequences, yes. There's still consequences to the sin, to the wrong. But where's forgiveness in it? Basically, you can summarize forgiveness. It's a choice. It's a choice we make to forgive somebody else. It's not measured on any other standard. The Bible makes it clear, almost a biblical definition, to let it go, to release something. That's forgiveness. Say, no, I'm not going to hold that against that person. Can I treat that person? The other day, just Just a couple days ago, I saw somebody who has done some things that has affected my family and affected others and even affected the church. You know what I did when I saw them? First, my heart said, oh, this person shouldn't. And God says, what? And then I thanked the Lord that his spirit spoke and says, no, that's not yours to decide. I'm dealing with that. And the next moment, I stuck my hand out and grabbed his hand and said, it's good to see you. And I meant it. It was it easy at first? The first thought wasn't that. What in the world? And I thank the Lord. My son happened to be with me, and he actually did the same thing. And I think, okay, that's the way we deal with it. It's God's to deal with, okay? And if there's a time God allows us to help somebody work through something, that's a different story. We don't have time, this area of forgiveness, to get into all the details of it, but that's where it comes down. What is God's standard? 1 Peter 1:15, but as he hath called us to be holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. He expects us to live a life above reproach. And if we try to go by his standards, which of us deserves forgiveness? You know, as God's standard, God's got the yardstick. We always want to hold the yardstick, don't we? We want to get out the measuring stick and say, this is the greatest thing when the Esecha were doing gardens. They would measure out their plots, 100 meters and all. You know where they got their meters from? They just, okay, this is a meter pole, and they'd cut it off, and they'd use that to measure with. They had no one pulled out a tape measure and said, okay, this is a meter. It was their meter. It's like our culture today. This is my truth. I'm sorry, I didn't know you had one. I thought the Bible was the truth. And did we line up with the Bible? And this is the yard, and finally we convinced us that, no, let's get a measuring instrument, a tape measure, and measure a meter. And now that's just, wow, that's a novel idea. And if we get out God's measuring stick on holiness and on who deserves forgiveness, we's in a heap of trouble, saying it loosely, aren't we? None of us, Romans 3:23, verses that so often we've used in soul winning, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Who's all? Yeah. Every single one of us. Romans 3:10-12. Even if you go over to David in Psalms 51:5, we're not only are we all sinners, but we were born in sin. And it's just like, it's not them, it's all of us. So if we want to get out the measuring stick, be real careful. Because God's going to get out his measuring stick too, and guarantee yours is going to be off. And this is what we come down to. None deserve forgiveness. Not one of us. And so when we start pointing the finger saying, that person doesn't deserve it, that person doesn't deserve it, that person... Wait a minute. We don't deserve it. But God. With that in mind, what does the word say about God and his forgiveness of sins? Micah 7:18-19. Who is a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity and passes by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He delights in mercy. Verse 19, he will turn again and will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and he will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. As far as from the east is from the west. That's what it is. He will have compassion on us. He delights in his mercy, to show his mercy toward us. He will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. He will forgive us all our sins. As I looked at those verses and it said, what are some words that jump out? Unfailing love, unlimited mercy, casting our sins into the depths of the sea. Not to the farthest reaches of the mountains, because that's not nearly as high as the depths of the sea. As far as from the east is from the west, he has forgiven us. That's his measuring stick. As in Romans 5:8, once again, we're going into our soul winners programs verses. But while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. No, not when we were good. Okay, now you measure up. Now you can be forgiven because you became good enough. No. While we were yet sinners, he forgave us. So why can't we forgive somebody else? Well, but if they just repent and are sincere about their wanting to get it right, then I'm going to forgive them. I am so glad God didn't treat me that way. And that's the way we need to look at forgiveness. And this is so often, and it's a gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Many times Jesus showed that he wasn't here just to heal people, but to forgive. How many times is in the scriptures you read, and Jesus said to the lame man, your sins are forgiven. And everybody got upset. Whoa, you can't do that. And he said, what's easier? You're forgiven or take up your bed and walk? that's our Lord. And there is no limit to him. The basis of forgiveness, it's a gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin are death, but the gift of God. And that's what we need to stop and think about. It's those two parts. And so often, when I'm out witnessing, in particular to the Spanish, the Frank Algersma has been able to get me New Testaments, and almost always when I'm out witnessing, I get to this verse, and I will pull out one of those New Testaments, little blue New Testaments, and I say, here, this is a free gift. And they just are ecstatic that I'm giving them a New Testament. And I said, it's free. And a lot of times then I would say, well, I'm not going to charge you $5 for this free gift. Sort of like they do at the airports in South America. They give you a flower and then they charge you for it. It's free. This is free. And then they say, okay, but it's $5 donation. It's not free anymore. No. That's trying to break the ice a little bit. But then I give them the New Testament, and they say, oh, and I said, well, how much? I said, no, it's free. And I said, yeah, it's free to you, but somebody else has already paid the price. Somebody's paid so that I can give you this free gift. And that's the way salvation is. It's a free gift, but it's not free. Somebody's already paid for it. And that's forgiveness. It's free. It's a choice. And the thing is, it's not because it didn't cost somebody something. Christ died for sins. And this is what we need to remind ourselves. So often, in John 3:17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that's what it comes down to. The Old Testament is just full of examples of this forgiveness, of a price being paid that forgiveness can be given. Adam and Eve, their clothes that were made them acceptable to stand before God were from an animal that had to be sacrificed. Abraham said to his son, God will provide in himself a sacrifice. And then in Exodus, as we've been studying on Wednesday nights, they needed to provide a perfect lamb and put the blood on the doorpost for forgiveness. And again, perfect example, it leads us right up to the Lord Jesus dying for us on the cross, and he paid the price. In Hebrews 9:22, in Hebrews 9:22, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. Christ paid the price. Who are we to hold back, saying, no, I can't forgive this person for that? And when Jesus said, I'm ready to forgive the person. And this is what we have to stop and think about. Actually, this morning I was reading, a verse I added in over in Psalm 78:38, and I will read from the right column because the left column's in Spanish. I've crossed back and forth the wrong ways a couple times. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquities and destroyed them not. It's talking about our God. He, being full of compassion, forgave our iniquities and destroyed them not. Yea, many a times turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. Many times. He's turned his anger away from us. What makes us so much better that we can't forgive somebody else? You know, the difference between us and God and us and anybody else, it's a whole lot more between us and God. And this is the hard part for us to understand, isn't it? We think we're pretty good. But compared to him, it don't make it. How do we show forgiveness? Show forgiveness of sins in our lives. Show it to him. That was close. But back up a second. How do you show that you value forgiveness? I want to go to that question first. How do we show that we value his forgiveness of us? By submitting to him. And that's really the first step. If we can't show that we value. Back up a second. A lot of times we can't forgive other people because we forgot how much we've been forgiven. If we don't remember how much he has forgiven us, we have a hard time forgiving the other person. So when you can't forgive somebody, maybe the question you need to ask is, have I forgotten how much God has forgiven me? And all of a sudden, this is pretty easy to forgive. I can forgive Don for being a Redskins fan or whatever team that is. He just needs to sit in the back, not in the front row. Where am I? I'm in my notes someplace here. How do we show that we value his forgiveness? By submitting to him. How do we show that we value his forgiveness? By choosing to follow him as Joshua did in Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. We show that we value that forgiveness by submitting to him, by following him, by choosing to love him, by choosing to love others, by choosing to forgive others. I forgive you because he forgave me, not because you deserve it. There's a huge difference. Okay, do you? No, we can't ask that question anymore. That doesn't line up with the word if they deserve it or not. Decide to love the unlovely. Decide to forgive others. Some reminders of forgiveness in the scripture. Baptism. And I saw as I was looking through the Sunday school lesson, I said, well, this is odd. I didn't line it up. And then as I started going through it, I said, wow. When we watch somebody get baptized, does that remind us of forgiveness? It should. Over in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Yeah, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because your sins are forgiven. It is a testimony. It should be a reminder. When we watch somebody get baptized here in the church and we say, yes, they made a decision to follow Jesus, also it needs to remind us that God has forgiven them. He's also forgave me. Each time we see somebody go up there and say, yes, that's a reminder to me that I've been forgiven too. That's what Peter was alluding to there. This is a reminder that he's been forgiven. We've been forgiven. It's a reminder. And that's, we're not just saying, so often we think, yes, that person's saved now. Yes, that person is a member of the church. Yes, that person's part of the family of God. That person's forgiven. Amen. And we're forgiven. Baptism should remind us of that. The Lord's Supper. Next Sunday, I believe, we're having communion here in the church. And as we take communion, and we've read the verses in 1 Corinthians 11 and then Matthew 26, 28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin." As we take communion, we need to remember that Christ's blood was shed for us and that we're forgiven. Guess what that's going to do as we go forward from there? We're forgiven, and we need to forgive. And it will change how we live and as we go forward. We need to proclaim forgiveness, proclamation of forgiveness. We should not be able to keep it in. We need to proclaim, as in Luke 24, 47 and 48, "And that repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of this thing, of forgiveness. Tell the world they can be forgiven." Doesn't say tell some of the people. No, tell all nations they can be forgiven. Isn't that incredible how we want to draw the line? Who needs to be told? What country or what people? You know, if we have a chance to go to death row and people who've done the gruesomest things, do they need to hear of forgiveness? And I had a couple years ago, I had an opportunity here in the local county go in and talk to a young man that I had previously spoke to who rejected the gospel completely. He put his year-and-a-half-year-old child down in the ICU, hanging by a thread. To be honest, I didn't think the kid was going to make it. Bob Kimball called and said, you know, there's a Spanish guy, he wants to talk to the chaplain. So I went down and spoke with him, and I realized who it was, and I said, oh, man. You think that guy deserved it? Did he deserve to hear anything? Yeah. Do we deserve it? Nope. But his great mercy. But God. The young man got saved. I ended up spending the next 6 months while he was on trial here teaching. He ended up going up to Hagerstown. He spent time up there. I was able to go up there and teach him. And he went back to El Salvador, deported, after he served his time. And then he sent a message from there saying he's hooked up with a church there in El Salvador. God can change a life. We need to proclaim that truth. It should be something in us that we can't contain. You know, Paul, there's multiple times in the book of Acts that God says yes. But it's something that should be in us that we can't contain. Job 32, 18. "For I am full of matter. The spirit within me constrains me. I am compelled to tell others of forgiveness." Acts 4:20. I can't but speak the things which I've heard and seen. I can't help but it, because it's there. We're forgiven so much. It's got to constrain us. I can't say how it doesn't. And that's where we need to be. Constrained to forgive. Jeremiah 20, verse 9 speaks of it so clearly. It's like a fire in my bones. He's forgiven me so much. I need to tell others of this forgiveness. And I need to forgive others. It's a practice we can take. It's a command that has been given us. By what means are we going to be able to forgive others? Because we're so good. No, I'm sorry, that's not in the notes. Because of his love for us and the love we are to show to others by faith in who he is, we can choose to forgive. Choice. It's a choice we can make each day. As verse 7 in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. We have that choice. We've been shown this. Now we can show others. Not measuring it out, but say, hey, he showed us so much. How can we not but show it to others? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your love, your presence, your mercy, your forgiveness. Thank you for allowing us to be together today. Guide us from this day forward. Help us to choose to forgive. In Jesus' name, amen.